Psalm 67 reads, "May God be merciful and bless us. May His face shine with favor upon us. May Your ways be known throughout the earth, Your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise You, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise You. How glad the nations will be, singing for joy because You govern them with justice and direct the actions of the whole world. May the nations praise You, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise You. Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear Him." In preparation for Go Week next week, we have a unique chapel today, an opportunity to hear from students. So many of you spent your summer doing, maybe working in a job, maybe serving internationally, maybe serving at a home church or something like that, and you were able to see God move in a number of different ways. And this morning, you're going to get to hear from some of your peers as they're going to share testimony of what God taught them, as well as what they were able to see God do. This morning, I want you to be in prayer for them as they speak to you, but also as you think about these things, just in thinking about maybe ways that you can be serving. As you think about those things, we'll talk about at the end just a little bit about Go Week next week and how you can be involved and how this is a great opportunity for an entire student body to hear about what God's doing around the world, but even more specifically, how you can be involved. So listen prayerfully as these students will come and share testimony of what God did in and through them this summer.
This morning, I'm going to share a little bit about two different experiences I had this summer. Immediately after graduation, I was part of a go trip that went to Tanzania and on the coast of Africa, and we worked in the University of Dar es Salaam, working with the students there. And I wanted just to highlight the whole trip was really an amazing trip, and we have so many stories, but I wanted to highlight three or four things in particular that stood out to me and that we were able to experience. And number one was the prayer walking that we did. It was my first experience of prayer walking, of just sitting and having focus time, sometimes sitting, sometimes walking through the dorms, but having focus time of just praying for the students. And it was pretty difficult. I had never done that before, but it was an amazing time that we could just pray for students we didn't know or students we had met as we walked by their rooms, by their halls, pray for them and pray that God's Holy Spirit would flow through that university. And we'd walk through dorms, we'd walk through classrooms, praying for teachers, we would walk through the cafeteria and sit in the cafeteria and just be able to pray for all those students. And then another thing was, when I first went, I imagined that most of our time would be spent sharing with non-Christian students, but a majority of our time was actually spent with other believers. We would set up daily, they call them appointments, and we would meet daily with other believers there on the campus and just have some really amazing times of sharing and encouraging. They would really challenge us, but sharing the gospel with each other, the hope that each of us have, even though we are different cultures, different continents, miles away, we still have that same hope, and sharing that with each other was really an amazing time. And especially being challenged with some of the Muslim background believers. One in particular who we spent a lot of time with had been totally kicked out by his family, and that's very unusual in Tanzania, where you usually live with your family till you're married. And this young man would not be married for quite a while, yet he had to live on his own and make his own money to pay for his university. And then also, so that time was sharing with the Christians, then also sharing with non-Christians that we were able to meet and just go to their rooms and talk. One guy told us he only had 15 minutes to talk, and an hour and 15 minutes later, he was like, "Well, y'all have to go now. Can we keep on talking?" And it was just amazing. He was a Muslim student, and he did not accept Christ right then. We don't know if he ever will, and we may never know that. But just to have that time to share the hope that we have, the hope of the gospel that we have in us. And so that was my trip to Tanzania. And then the rest of the summer, I spent in Nashville working as a general intern at Grace Community Church. And I did just about everything that went on at the church. It's a growing church, and so I didn't work with just one particular department, with just the youth or with just the music, but I worked under the director of administration and church ministries. So it was an incredible experience to be part of just every single day church life, being there at the church, at the offices, and seeing exactly what it was. And some of it was just incredibly ordinary and incredibly businesslike. But it was an awesome experience just to see how a local church works and to get to be part of that church for the whole summer and experienced a lot of the joys. They had a lot of growing pains because they're expanding some of their ministries and just getting to see how those get fleshed out. It was an awesome time also to be under some godly leaders to just be able to talk and share with. And they could mentor me and I could bounce things off them. And that experience was one that I will always be so thankful for. And as I was thinking about these two times, I was trying to think, was there a common theme that ran through these two experiences with the summer? Because I spent, they were pretty different. And the one I came up with, or and the one I believe that was there, is the power and the necessity of the gospel for all people, both believers and unbelievers. And so for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ out there, I will say this, that the power, the gospel is not just for those of us who don't, for those who don't believe in Christ yet. The power of the gospel is for us daily to live in and to live by. And so I charge you to grasp that. And then for all my fellow students who are not, perhaps have not put their faith in Christ, the power of the gospel is for you, for salvation. And the fact that God sent his son to earth to pay for our sins is the only power that we can live by. And so I charge you that today is the day of salvation for you, to repent and to believe and to put your faith in Christ, because he is your hope and he is your only salvation. And I will close with Paul's letter, first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, starting with verse 15. This is a true saying, and everyone should believe it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I was the worst of them all. But that is why God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Glory and honor to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Katie Beth et je vais vous présenter ce que j'ai appris cet été. I'm Katie Beth and I'm a junior and I'm a French major, obviously. I had the great experience of going to France this summer and I just love French. I love the language, I love the culture, I love the people. And I prepared something completely different to talk about, but I really have something else on my heart this morning. Last summer, I could never have imagined even going on a mission trip of any sort. During Go Week, I don't think I came to any of the Go Week chapels. I was so against even going on a mission trip or sharing my faith with people from other worlds. I was just confused about what I thought myself, and I knew that God had done a lot in my life, but I was confused about how to, I guess, communicate that to other people. And last summer was really one of the most down points in my whole life, and I could never imagine having to go to another country and live there for 2 whole months. But God gave me the strength to do that this summer. I guess to explain my passion for French, I was in high school. I was really, I was really outcast sometimes because I wasn't of the denomination of the high school that I went to, and people didn't always think that I was saved myself. So I was confused, you know, I was wondering, well, am I saved? I don't know, because everyone else is telling me that I'm going to hell. And what I learned from that was I just learned to trust in God, and I learned that I actually developed an eating disorder through this time, and it was one of the most challenging experiences of my life. I was only 12 years old and I had no idea what I was doing or how to get out of it. And I didn't even know how serious a thing it could get to be. And so last summer, I was at my lowest point, and that was when I just kind of gave up. And I was like, God, would you just please take over? I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to pick myself up. I knew I had my love for French. The love for French had really given me hope in another world, hope that life could be better, hope that I could even eat in a different way. And so this summer when I went to France, it was a complete turnaround. I'd gone on a go trip actually this past March to North Africa, and I was so excited that I could eat for a whole week without looking at calories. I know that sounds completely ridiculous, but I was so excited that I could enjoy the culture and not have to worry about all the little things that would get me down. And so this summer in France, I had no idea how I was gonna live with a family for 2 whole months and not have any control over what I was eating or have any say in where I was going or where I was gonna be. I didn't know a lot about what I was even doing this summer until I got there. And so it was a real challenge. And a lot of people probably think, oh, you've never gone through anything, you know, you're this sweet little girl. But, and I know, like, I have probably been sheltered from a lot of things, but this summer it really opened my eyes to a whole different world and to thinking a different way. And I got to try the French food, and I got to meet French kids and teach them. I got to live out my dreams, really. It's always been my dream to teach English in France, and I got to do that with French middle schoolers, and that was really fun. And I hope to go back maybe this summer to study abroad. And I guess I just like to close with saying that the French people really ministered to me more than I did to them this summer. I saw through their beauty, through their culture, I love Paris. I got to go to the cafes and the museums and the parks, and I just saw the beauty of their culture and how God has manifested himself in their lives. And even through my friends that weren't Christian there, I was so in awe at how much they would do for me and how much they just loved me. And how I could just stay with them. I stayed with some people for weeks at a time, and they didn't expect anything in return. And I'm just in awe at what they would do to me, and or what they would do for me, and how God has changed my life through my love for French. He's really shown me to not give up hope and to trust in Him that miracles can happen, because even when things are hopeless and dark, that's often when, if we just give up and give it all over to Him, that He's going to change us and things are going to start getting better. Thank you.
Hey guys, my name is Daniel Spencer, and I want to tell you guys about what I did this summer. I did two things. First, I went to a camp called Wilderness Cove in North Carolina. And also, I went on a go trip to Malaysia for 1 month, okay? First, Wilderness Cove was one of the top experiences of my whole life. I was really challenged, and I just want to tell you a little about the camp. Basically, each week I'd have a new group of high school students, usually, who would come in Sunday, and we'd take them backpacking for 4 days. And then after that, we'd kind of hang out around the base camp. And Friday, we would go mountain biking, and we would go rock climbing. So that's the gist of the camp. And backpacking, I really believe, is one of the best ways to minister to students. After this summer, I really believe that, because you're just out there in the woods with a bunch of high school kids who don't have their video games and their TVs and all the stuff they waste their time on, because they waste so much time. And they don't have that stuff to run to and waste their time. So they're just sitting there with nothing to do, and they're bored. And it's just, you have all the time to just sit there and minister to them, just talk to them, be their friend, play in the creek with them, and then tell them about God and what He's done in your life. So, I mean, I highly recommend it if you guys like outdoors at all. I mean, it's really neat. But at the beginning of camp, I had a lot of fears, you know, because it's a big responsibility. Basically, I was in charge of 10 youth. With no adults other than myself out in the woods for 4 days. There's no medical help if someone gets hurt, things like that. So I had a lot of fears. What if, you know, some of these kids are going to be my age pretty much, because they're high school kids. They're just going to be, and I was 18 at the time. You know, what if they don't listen to me? What if they're rebellious and they don't do anything I say and they go hurt themselves, you know, things like that. I had a lot of fears. But the first week, God really worked. One of my kids got really sick. He had bronchitis on the trail. And I was pretty scared. I was terrified, actually. And we had to evacuate him in the middle of the night at midnight, and it was pitch black, you know, 2 miles to the van. And once I got to the van, I had to drive another 30 minutes just to call the ambulance. It was really scary, but like I kept praying the whole time, and God worked. I don't really have time to tell you all the things he did. If you come to me, you know, I'll tell you. But he did. He just worked, and it was amazing. The kid was great. He turned out fine. And the week ended up to be a complete success amidst all the devil's things that he was trying to throw at us. So that's enough of that. But God really calmed my fears, and it was an amazing thing. So I guess God taught me at camp a ton about just how to minister, what ministry looks like, because it was the most practical form of ministry I guess I'd ever really done. And I think it's helped me see a lot, just how to minister every day here at Union, at church, how to minister to people, especially younger people, how to disciple them. And it really taught me a lot. So I highly recommend, it's called Wilderness Cove. You can look it up online. It's an amazing camp. It's really small. If you like the small camp atmosphere, I highly recommend it, especially if you like outdoors. I'm probably going to do it next year too, so you can talk to me. There's so many stories I could tell you about camp, but I don't really have time. So I'm going to move on to Malaysia, right? I was there for 1 month. And when I first got there, honestly, I was like, why am I here, God? I really believed, I think, maybe the second day there, that I shouldn't have been there. I was like, I don't think I should have done this. I think I made the wrong decision to come here because I spent tons of money that could be spent better. And I'm not doing anything useful. I'm just sitting here. I don't have anything to tell these people. I could be doing more at home. I could be learning more. I could be teaching others more. So I was just like, why am I here? I didn't understand it. But we went to a place called Penang. We were there for only 9 days. And we spent the majority of the time in a place called KL. It's the main, I guess, yeah, it's the capital of Malaysia. But we were in Penang for 9 days. And that's where God really confirmed why he brought me there. Or at least that he could still use me if I was willing. And by the way, I definitely think that I should go to, or did the right thing in going to Malaysia. So God had calmed those fears. But in Penang, it was amazing. What we did in Malaysia was we played basketball. I don't know if you guys know Coach Katie Woodruff. She was the assistant coach last year of the women's team who they won. Pretty exciting. But we did clinics, basketball clinics, pretty much every day for a month. I got pretty sick of basketball, and I like sports. But so we did that every day, and students would just come. And we had 100 students at one of these clinics. So, I mean, they came. and so it was a great time to get to know a lot of people, build a lot of relationships. And then we'd always ask them to eat with us afterwards, and so they'd come and eat with us. I mean, there was always at least like 5 or 10 people who'd come eat with us, sometimes 30. And so we got to build a lot of relationships. We were there for only 9 days, but when 9 days, your whole 9 days, every minute of the day is really devoted to spending time with people. You can get to know them. So we got to build some cool relationships, and through those relationships, we were able to share the gospel with a lot of people who had never heard it. So that was really exciting, because here in the States, it seems like most people have heard the gospel. I mean, there's definitely some that haven't, but it seems like most people at least have some kind of misconception or preconception about the gospel and what it is. But a lot of these people had never even heard it. Which was really convicting in a way to know that there's so many people out there that have never heard it, and I've heard it at least 1,000 times, probably a lot more. And it really broke my heart. So I don't know what else to say here. I did want to mention this. A missionary we worked with in Penang was named Amos, and he was an amazing guy, really godly guy, such a passion for spreading the word all over his area in Penang. And I remember one day eating lunch with him, I looked at him and said, Amos, because this is something I thought about a lot. I was like, Amos, would you rather of us just sent you all the money that it costs for us just to fly over here, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000, U.S. dollars? And he was like, no, of course not, without any hesitation. He's like, no way. I'd much rather you guys be here. Your work that you're doing here is so much more important than $10,000. And I was blown away because that's a ton of money, you know? And I've heard a lot of times that missionaries sometimes would rather you just send money than actually come because they could use that a lot better than they could use you. Which is probably true in some circumstances, but that was just really encouraging to know that go trips are useful and they are needed and they are very important. And God's not calling every one of you guys to go on a go trip, but he is calling a lot of you. So please consider it. And just in closing, I want to just say that I'm really excited about Go Week this next week. I kind of missed out on it a lot as a freshman, didn't really get that involved in it. I don't want any of you guys to do that. I want everybody to be involved, and I want to see like 100 people, 200 people going to these each of these global gatherings next week, because we can't miss out on this. This is missions. This is what God has called us to do. Every one of us are called to support it in some way. I mean, not every one of us can go, and nor should we, but there's some way you can support missions, and I think going to global gatherings is a great way to start. So I don't know, let's go to those global gatherings and enjoy, and let's just explode at Union. And just next week, I just want to see an explosion of passion for missions and what God can do throughout the whole world. And let's just let something happen next week, and not just let it be another week where, you know, yeah, we're all busy, but I just want to get excited about Go Week, all right?
Yes, Daniel, Go Week is amazing. You're right. My name is Anna Sanders. I'm a senior here at Union. This summer, I had an amazing, amazing just time, I guess you can say. I had the privilege of living in Franklin, Tennessee, with a family and working at their church. And I served alongside two amazing individuals, ministers, and I got to build relationships with over 100 6th through 12th graders. It's my dream. Absolutely love to build relationships. Anyone that knows me knows that I would much rather go sit in a room and talk for 2 hours than go to class. I do enjoy learning. However, building relationships and telling people just about my love for God is my passion and my desire. So we did everything. We went to Puerto Rico for a week for World Changers. I went there with my high schoolers, and then with my middle schoolers, I went to Chicago. We played Ultimate Frisbee every Thursday night. We went to Sonic every Wednesday and Thursday night. On Monday nights, we played basketball. So I really built relationships. Sunday mornings, I taught two Sunday school classes, one for middle and one for high. Wednesday night, I was in charge of games, and I taught. I mean, it was an absolutely full summer. I had no time to breathe, and at times, I just got really lonely. And I thought, what? God hasn't called me to ministry, because this is something that is too much for me. I tend to get so caught up in doing that I forget about just spending time with God and being silent and worshiping Him. But I wanted to say that I'm really sick of people asking me what I learned this summer. You know, when you come back to college, it's happened to me, this is my fourth time, and everyone says, so how was your summer? Yeah, you gotta have an answer. You gotta have an answer ready. You can't just stand there and smile at them. I mean, that's why we have the howdy party, right? We have the howdy party so you can say, I did this summer and it was amazing. Well, from the time I left Forest Hills Baptist Church, which is where I worked, which was August 13th, I had to be back here August 17th. And I had 4 days to decide what I learned, put it into two sentences so that every single person that I encountered on day one, I could say, this is what I learned. I'm still not there. I still don't know. I can't say, here are two sentences. This is what God taught me. This is where I'm going in life with this experience. What I can say about this summer is that God is alive. I'm an RA also, and when we went on RA retreat, we were asked to put our summer on a piece of paper, which is yet again an impossible task, but, you know, we're trying to get to know people, so we got to share these things. So I just was supposed to draw it, and I had this sheet of paper, and what I drew on it was a cross, and I couldn't get any further. Like, I had a brain block. I could not go any further because I realized that my summer was just all God. He was the one that gave me this opportunity. He is the one that built these relationships that are not ending. I've gone back twice, and I'm going back again. I mean, I'm going to keep building relationships with these youth and the people in the church. This is a whole church that God has brought to me. On top of that, He has blessed me endlessly from just one thing after the other from this summer. This is kind of humorous, but if you know me, you know how really this is a blessing. I got a new car from this summer. I mean, there are all these material things maybe. However, all I can say is that God was there. God was gracious. God's alive. He reminded me about the love that I have for him. He reminded me that my life as a Christian is because I have a relationship with him. It has nothing to do with my parents. It has nothing to do with union. It has nothing to do with my church. It has everything to do with the fact that God is alive and active in my life. And so if you, get the opportunity to step out on faith, which is a good thing, just be ready for God to completely change your life, for him to become alive in your life, and for it never to go away, because now I just have a renewed passion. I'm ready to get away from union, honestly, and just go see what more there is. But while I'm here, I get to just proclaim his love, and I get to say he's alive.
Namaste. That's what we said in India this entire summer as a way to greet people. My name is Lanon Preston, and I'm a senior here at Union, and I was able to spend 9 weeks in India this summer. So why did I choose India? Well, it started last summer when I began to pray about where God would lead me to go this past year with a go trip, and I really felt him leading me to go to India, and as some things were confirmed, I realized that was where I needed to go. So another thing that helped me make that decision was part of me was really tired of living the typical American life. And so I thought, I don't just want to stay in India for 3 weeks on a go trip. I want to spend my whole summer there where I'm halfway around the world and I don't have a cell phone and I don't really have internet. And I'm going to be forced to learn about other people, about their culture, about what they believe, about who their God is, and more so, about who my God is. And I didn't really know that that was going to happen when I first went to India, but as my summer went on, I learned more about who God is and what I believe than I could have ever have imagined. We spent 3 weeks in Delhi as a go team, and our main mission there was to develop relationships with college students, was to find them and have significant conversations with them, with the hopes of sharing the gospel. That was our ideal, of getting to share with them how Christ had worked in our life, what he meant to us, and then seeing them respond to that. One amazing thing that happened was the hotel where we stayed at. The first night that I was there, I had heard that a team that had gone before us from California Baptist University had the opportunity to share with the manager there that they had shared Christ with him. So I walk out of my hotel room after unpacking my bag, and the guy is sitting there on the couch in the atrium with his Bible open. And I walked outside the door and he said, "Excuse me, can you explain to me what this means?" And I said, it totally caught me off guard. And I was thinking, I'm here in India and this guy wants me to explain to him what Genesis chapter 1 means. And so his name was Yogesh. He's the manager at the hotel. And I spent the rest of my summer explaining to him as much as I knew how what the Bible meant. And we went all the way from Genesis to the end of Revelation, spent 2 months with him, discipling him, trying to teach him what the Bible is about, which it's about Jesus. So that was an incredible time as I was able to share with him and disciple him, which was interesting because I had no plans to do that when I was in India. My goal when I wanted to go to India was I just wanted to be discipled. Like I told you, I wanted to get away from American responsibilities. But what happened was that God had other plans for me, and he wanted me to teach other people things also. When we were in Delhi, we also, as a team, we traveled around and we visited different temples. Maybe it was a Sikh temple or a Hindu temple, or we would visit a mosque. Different cultural places there in Delhi, which we could learn about other religions. After the go team left, I spent a week and a half by myself. Actually, I lived with another missionary who I had met before, and I spent that week and a half following up with these men that our team had met. And so I spent more time with them, discipling them, teaching more about the Bible to them. And the thing that was great about that I never realized was I noticed that the more I shared with them what the Bible taught and what I had learned my whole life, the more real my faith became to me. One night, I'll never forget, I was sharing with a man named Himanshu, and I was trying to explain to him the difference between Christianity and the Hindu religion, because there's a lot of similarities in some ways. And one thing I said that I didn't even realize it when I said it was Christianity is the only religion in which God himself has to die in order for our sins to be forgiven. Because you see, in Hindu religion, they have a goddess named Kali, she is the goddess of sacrifice. And if you ever see a picture of her, her skin is as black as coal, and on her hands and on her feet, there's blood dripping down, and there are skulls surrounding her. In her right hand, she's holding up a god's head who she had cut off. And Hindus go to her, and they worship her, and they bow down to her, and they offer sacrifices to her, because they're seeking to find some way to get rid of this guilt that they feel, the sins that they know that they do. And so one thing that was enlightening to me when I was there was to visit these temples and to go to these places and watch these people worship, and watch them pray to these false gods. After that week and a half when I was by myself, I decided that it was cheaper to fly to Thailand from India than it would be from America. So I took a week off and I went to Thailand. There was a missionary conference there, and I spent the week worshiping with other believers. But while that was encouraging, one thing I did was I took a moped and went up into the mountains there. It's in northern Thailand, in Chiang Mai. Took a moped, went up the mountain, and as you go higher up the mountain, you'll see these little temples all the way alongside the road. And I'll never forget the images, which are burned in my mind, of people bowing down to golden images of the king of Thailand, bowing down to golden images of Buddha. And you see them reciting, doing this over and over as they're bowing down, looking at these images, hoping that their prayers will be answered. I'll never forget that. When I came back to India, I took 3 more days off, and I went to a city called Varanasi. And Varanasi is the religious capital of India. It is the Mecca for Hindus. It's the Jerusalem for Hindus. And the reason it's so sacred to Hindus is because the Ganges River flows through Varanasi. And the Ganges River, they believe, is a goddess herself. And so if you dip into the Ganges River, you will have your sins forgiven. So I took a boat ride. I'll never forget seeing people as they are washing their clothes in the river. They're swimming in the river. They are taking baths in the river. They're brushing their teeth in the river. They're drinking the water of the river, all for the hopes of having their sins forgiven, because they don't know what else to do. And so they'll go to the sadhus, the religious leaders, and they'll say, what should I do? What can I do to have my sins forgiven? They'll say, you go to the river. And they'll tell them to drink the water. You know, bow this many times on the water, and you'll see them reciting. They have these beads where they recite their prayers, the Hari Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, and they recite them over and over. And as I was going down the river, I'm on a rowboat, and I'm listening to these people chant these things to these false gods. And it was such an overwhelming sight for me and sound for me to hear that. I also saw people as they, in Hinduism, they don't bury bodies, they cremate. And so they believe that if you cremate a body on the Ganges River, they'll go straight into moksha, which is the somewhat equivalent of heaven for Hindus. And so I remember rowing up beside, watching a funeral, having the ashes of the bodies go into my nostrils, coughing on those things, and you hear the sounds of the families crying as they are saddened by the loss of this person, as they watch their bodies burn and they go into the river there in Varanasi. It was a powerful time. And then when I came back, I spent the last 3 weeks of my time in India being discipled by an Indian family who were believers, obviously. And they taught me the Bible. We studied scriptures together. We prayed together. And I learned how little I knew about the Bible. But it was an incredibly humbling and encouraging time as I was able to learn from them. I also took classes at a seminary. And it was a course called Comparative Religions and Theology of World Religions. That was an interesting time for me also to learn more about what these religions really believe and why they believe these things. And as I think about what I learned from India over the summer, I think the thing that I cannot get over is how, before I went to India, I feel like I had theological positions about certain things. But like I said before, one of the most influential things for me over the summer was sharing my faith with people over and over. And the more I shared it with them, the more real it became to me and the more sense it made. Because having to teach someone, and I'd never done this before, but having to teach someone the book of Genesis all the way through Exodus and taking them through the Old Testament and through the New Testament, I'd never done that before. But I learned a whole lot of the Bible that I'd never learned before. And as I did that, Christianity became so true to me. Because while there are comparisons between Christianity and Hinduism or Buddhism or even Islam in some ways, there are comparisons. There is a distinct difference in that Christ himself, Jesus Christ, is the only man who was God, who became man, lived a sinless life, and God himself had to die so that our sins might be forgiven. And you go to India, you go to Thailand, you can go anywhere in the world, and you will see people trying desperately to have their sins forgiven, doing different things, whether it's diving into a river or whether it's worshiping golden images alongside of a mountain. People are trying to rid themselves of this guilt that they feel on their that they feel in their conscience. But Christianity is the only religion which provides a true solution to that, where it's nothing that we do, but God himself has done it for us. My summer made my Christian positions become true beliefs, and I believe encouraged and challenged me to share them with other people. So thank you.
Thank you to all of you that shared testimony. Many of you mentioned Go Week. These opportunities that these students took, these Go trips that they're talking about, how can you find out more about it? Next week is a great opportunity for that. Next week is an opportunity where you can find out ways that you can serve in your summer, ways that you can serve over spring break, January, or time in the summer on a Go trip. But even more so, the goal of Go Week is not necessarily for you to find out ways that you can go, but I think ultimately the goal in Go Week is so that you understand that God is a global God. He's not just a God over America. He's not just a God of your own little world. But he's a global God who cares about the nations, who desires for his name to be made known among all the world, among all the nations, among all the people groups. And so that's the goal of next week. There are a lot of different opportunities. I want to highlight just a few so you're aware of them, because some of these are unique. There will be a chapel service on Monday. We typically do not have chapel on Monday, but we will this Monday. There will be someone coming and speaking from Memphis and talking about how he serves in the community, talking about how to minister among the poor and these kind of things. On Tuesday night, there will be an opportunity for you to hear a man in Harvey Hall. He is a Chinese brother in Christ who faces a lot of persecution as he is a pastor of a house church and pastors other churches in that way. Incredible opportunity for you to hear about what God is doing in his life and what God is doing in China there. Also, there will be obviously chapels on Wednesday and Friday where we'll hear from a man from California Baptist University as he shares with us just understanding what I was just explaining to you. Understanding that God is a global God. There will be global gatherings, as Daniel mentioned. These are different opportunities. Pick up a schedule next week, and you will know more about where those are and when those are happening and those kind of things. And there will be, next week, Wednesday and Thursday, there will be representatives from various missions organizations that will be here to talk about ways that you can serve, even more so just what God is doing in their lives and what God's doing around the world as they are there. You will also hear about all the Go trips, all the trips that we will be taking through Union to the various parts of the world, ways that you can serve, and those will be unveiled next week, and you can find out more about those. I'm going to pray and we'll be dismissed. As we are dismissed, there'll be a video that was shown at the beginning. It'll be shown as you are leaving. It's a video about Urbana. Urbana is a conference that will take place at the end of December. We are taking a group of students. This is just an opportunity for you to know more about that, and there'll be some more information next week and some more information in your boxes to come. So let me pray and we'll be dismissed. Let's stand together. Father, we give you the praise, honor, and glory for the work that you have done in the lives of the students that spoke this morning. God, we pray that the seeds that were planted, that you would bring to fruition. God, I pray that you would save many, that your gospel would go forth. I pray that you would burden all of us that are your children to share your glorious gospel, the glorious good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son with all those that we encounter. May this become a constant burden upon us as we have all been called to this. Help us to understand who you are more. God, I pray for them, even as they are in their classes, as they learn things in the various disciplines, that they understand that these things are not separate from their Christianity, but they are a great part of it, and that they would take these things and apply them to their lives wherever they go. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.